Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining me. Coming up over the next half hour, arrivederci till next summer. The Pope salutes friends and staff at Castel Gandolfo ahead of his return to the Vatican. Pope Benedict calls for prayers for reconciliation between North and South Korea as the leaders of the two Asian nations meet for a landmark summit. And we talk with South Korea's Cardinal Nicholas Cheong about the challenges facing the church in the region. Arrivederci until next summer. Pope Benedict bid farewell to staff and friends at the papal residence of Castel Gandolfo on Monday. He returns to the Vatican this week for the busy winter months. Lydia O'Kane has more.
The Holy Father bid a fond farewell to those who, in his own words, had made his summer in Castel Gandolfo both fruitful and tranquil. Speaking to the assembled employees, he expressed his gratitude and thanked them for the generosity of their service.
Il mio soggiorno estivo a Castel Gandolfo, che voi avete contribuito a rendere proficuo e tranquillo.
The Pope also asked them to continue to work in a spirit of faith because their activities were a testimony of love and faith in Christ, and added that he would continue to pray for them.
A tutti voi un cordiale arrivederci. Vi assicuro che continuerò a pregare.
During his remarks, the Holy Father also made reference to the Feast of the Guardian Angels celebrated on Tuesday. He prayed that the Lord would place the angels near to those present and guide and accompany them on the right road. The Holy Father has spent the last 2 months in Castel Gandolfo, situated in the Roman hills, and his departure from the papal residence draws to a close a summer which began with a private vacation in the alpine town of Lorenzago di Cadore. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Raccomando alla vostra preghiera anche la situazione nella penisola coreana.
Pope Benedict XVI there calling on Christians to pray for peace and reconciliation between North and South Korea. The Pope encouraged dialogue between the two neighbors as a step to furthering that reconciliation. He made that appeal after praying the midday Angelus with crowds in Castel Gandolfo, the Sunday ahead of bilateral talks between the two Asian nations, opened on October 2nd. The Holy Father entrusted to prayer the situation of the Korean Peninsula, where important developments in the dialogue between the two Koreas, he said, give hope that the efforts at reconciliation taking place can consolidate in favor of the Korean people and to benefit the stability and peace of the entire region.
Fanno sperare che gli sforzi di riconciliazione in atto possano consolidarsi a favore del popolo coreano e a beneficio della stabilità e della pace dell'intera regione.
The talks in Pyongyang are themselves considered an important development. This is just the second time that the divided Koreas have held a summit in more than 50 years. The two countries remain technically at war since the 1950-53 Korean War ended in a ceasefire. But since the last bilateral talks in the year 2000, the two Koreas have reconnected rail and road links across their border and established a joint industrial zone in a North Korean border city. Thousands of Korean families divided between the North and South have also met in brief and emotional reunions. North and South Korea are also engaged in regional six-party talks, which include China, Japan, the U.S., and Russia over the North's nuclear arms program. South Korea has donated millions of dollars of food aid to the North as it battles with widespread hunger. Well, on a recent visit to Rome, Cardinal Nicholas Cheong of Seoul sat down with me for a talk about the challenges facing the church in his region of the world. He condemns what he calls an invasive culture of death in his own South Korea and wants to see it replaced with a culture of respect for life. Also, the apostolic administrator of Pyongyang, North Korea, he has spoken out courageously for the rights of Christians to practice their faith freely in the communist state.
The Korean church is, as far as I know, is one of the most dynamic church in Asia. After Philippines and Vietnam, the South Korean church is takes third place in Asian church. It's almost 9% of the population are Catholics. So in spite of the Buddhist and Protestantist, they are bigger than us, but we still have much influence in the Korean society. Korean, as a whole, now is one of the developed country, and as far as the economic level also, and religious level also.
Now, you said that Catholics represent about 9% of the population in South Korea. Mm-hmm. What are the challenges facing that community today?
There is a materialism among the people. They are anti-life. Some kind of anti-life. It's the culture of death.
The expression that Pope John Paul used to say, the culture of death in today's world.
For example, the abortion, very high rate, and no children. I think it's birth rate at the third least in the world. So we must try pro-life campaign. So I will do pro-life campaign. That at the most. And that for the culture, I will try, among the youth people, I will try that, what is the Christian culture? Is this? I will show them.
Now, you are also apostolic administrator of North Korea, mm-hmm. South Korea's neighbor. What challenges does that particular situation present to you? And are there any Catholics today, any Christians that you're aware of in North Korea?
At the point of 1945, there were 55,000 Catholics in North Korea, and almost 50 parishes there, and many priests and the religious sisters. But the communist regime, they oppose the Catholics. Not only Catholic, but also the Protestants. They hate all religious freedom. So at the present, there remain only 1,000 or 3,000 Catholic only. No priest, no religious sisters at all. They all disappeared in the year of 1949. So we try to get some religious freedom. So I try to do my best to regain that religious freedom. So sometimes I ask to the communist regime, at least one priest will reside in the Pyongyang or any place, but they say it is not the time. So I wait now. But at the same time, I aid them for the humanitarian level.
I know that the church in South Korea is very active in providing humanitarian assistance to North Korea, and I would assume also other kinds of assistance in whatever way you're able to. How does the church try to support your brothers and sisters in the North?
It is very hard to access the Northern regime. Do not permit the personal contact, so we await. They allow only one case, family reunion, twice a year. 100 family, they reunion only. But there are 10 million people separated during the war.
And so the church in South Korea, also South Korean authorities, obviously, are trying to assist families to reunite, go across the border to be able to live together or at least visit each other.
Not live, it's just a visit. Only 1 day or 2 days, they visit. So we say the union of the family. But only twice a year. One time is only 100 people each. So you said, how long we take the 10 million people get met?
Decades to reunite 10 million people. Mm-hmm. But how, I mean, this is just a practical question, but how do these people communicate during a year to even know that their where their family lives on the other side of the border?
Oh, we tried to communicate by letters, but we could not success. That we tried at the first time through Red Cross, but the North Korea regime do not permit. At present, we cannot communicate by letter. So no telephone, no internet. No means to communicate to the people. Only one case is the family reunion twice a year.
And you're hoping, obviously, to try to improve this situation.
Yes, I will try to improve this sad situation. So I will try at all means, I will try. Yes.
Now, you said there are a little over 1,000 Catholics that you know of in North Korea today. First of all, how do you know that if North Korea is so bordered up? And how do these people, I mean, are they obviously try to keep it quiet that they're Christians, I would imagine.
I don't know exactly how many left, but there is a rumor, 1,000 remained or 3,000. But at least that 60 years ago, there are 55,000 Catholic there. But now it's the 60 years since, so most of them, they passed away already because of the old age. And no baptism, as well as there's no new baptism permitted.
Well, with no priests, not only would there be no baptisms, but no confirmations and no communion on Sundays.
Yeah. From 1949, all the priests, all the religious sisters disappeared suddenly.
Do we know what happened to them?
No. We don't know. After that, we don't know whether they are alive or not. We don't know. No sign at all now.
Now, before we were talking about your efforts to help families reunite between the South and the North, but also I know that the church is very involved, along with the South Korean authorities, in providing humanitarian aid. Mm-hmm. Could you just explain that a little bit? How exactly has the church helped physically, practically, with humanitarian aid?
I know that NGO action is at the most active is the Catholic organization compared with other people. So I am proud of that. Our Catholic faithfuls are the fervent and the devout for the cause of the God. They help the North Korean people.
There's a chronic lack of food in North Korea, of rice, of flour, basic necessities as those. How many people in North Korea are affected by that?
Oh, yes. They are the communist regime, so they are not incentive to labor, labor hard. So farmers only work under the supervisor. Not the voluntary, they do not work. So they are always at the lack. But, and also the big flood, and all the basic of the farming is destroyed. So they are very lack of the food. So we must support them to survive.
Has the North demonstrated appreciation for this assistance?
Yes, they ask us to assist the food. And nowadays, they not only the food, but also the developing basic assistance, they say.
So you're also saying they're asking some agricultural development assistance from South Korea as well?
Not only the agricultural side, but also the light industrial factories we support now.
So these initiatives are important. You see them as being important towards reconciling the two Koreas.
Yes. I think it is most important to reconcile, and we must forgive each other. Is it during the war? Both sides they did some unhuman actions. So we must ask pardon each other and forgive each other. It is very important, and this is the first to do in order to get the reconciliation.
But do you see that anytime soon between the two Koreas?
I believe that God will permit us to reconcile. And our loving God of providence, one day we can reconcile and we can meet as friends and we can smile each other.
Of course, the Korean Peninsula has an American presence in South Korea. And then across the border, of course, you have the threat of nuclear power, of nuclear weaponry. How does that make South Korea feel? Are people worried? Are they concerned? And it seems that you're really caught in the middle somehow.
Is it a difficult question? But the reason why the Korea is divided is Russia and America. Two powers, they decide the Korean Peninsula divided north and south. Nowadays, is that we say it four powers. It's China, Japan, Russia, America, and two North Korea and South Korea. So we take a six parties talk, but it's not easy. Four big powers are different. Some kinds of they think their interest is some kind of deeper. So it is not easy. So you mentioned now that the United States Army, but I must think also the Chinese power. It's a big. And the Russian power. And the Japanese also. So I pray always that our Heavenly Father, who can help, who only can help. So I do my best prayer every day. Unless the Korean situation is not solved, it's a big powers. They are the power game, so it is not easy. So I cannot say one word.
But people there are concerned.
Yes. And is it one kind of the world big powers? The politics they are that's. Influent also.
So do you think Pope Benedict was making a statement in some way by making you a cardinal?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Our Pope is the good announcement in case of my nomination. The Korean newspapers or they have some hope that I, as a cardinal, making some kind of action to reconcile to both North Korea and South Korea. So I will try my best under the guidance of the Holy See.
What kind of influence does the Catholic Church, does the Holy See have in the two Koreas right now?
It is not easy, but as far as I know, the Holy See and the Chinese government can try to reconcile. So it is some effect. Holy See and China, good relation, That makes some influence to both North Korea and the South Korean relation also.
And a very warm thanks there to Cardinal Nicholas Cheong of Seoul, South Korea. No one really knows how many Christians still practice their faith clandestinely in North Korea. But it seems the government of Pyongyang is increasingly concerned that what few there are too many. And they're calling them the enemy within. North Korean exiles point to a booklet published by the propaganda department of the North Korean Army that says the nation's enemies from around the world are using spies to spread their religions and superstitious beliefs. The booklet's message is chilling. Religion is spreading like a cancer inside North Korea's armed forces, it says, and it must be eradicated without delay. The booklet warns soldiers not to watch or listen to broadcasts, video or audio materials, or to read documents distributed by the enemy. Susie Hodges picks up the story.
Rights activists say the persecution of Christians in North Korea is among the worst in the world. All North Korean Christians and followers of other faiths there, like Buddhism, are forced to join Communist Party-controlled organizations. Those who do not join are persecuted, with tens of thousands of Christians being sent to labor camps. Wilfred Wong is an expert on religious affairs in Asia who works for the Christian human rights group, the Jubilee Campaign. He says earlier reports reaching the West backed up this fresh evidence that Christianity is spreading among the military in North Korea, much to the alarm of the communist regime.
Well, it's interesting you report that because in 2004, the Forum 18 news service reported that a North Korean army general who had become a Christian was, after he had begun to evangelize in his army unit, shot dead by another senior army officer in 2003. And this was just one example of an influential military person having become a believer in Christianity. And we know that for a very long time, the regime in North Korea have been persecuting Christians on the basis that they promote their own quasi-religion, which is the leadership of the North Korean regime. Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il, his son, are supposed to be like deities in the eyes of the North Korean people. And they expect the people of North Korea to only give their allegiance to their so-called eternal president, Kim Il-sung, despite his dying in 1994, and to believe in his son, Kim Jong-il, who's the current leader of North Korea. It is a state ideology of a quasi-religious nature. And for that reason, anyone who believes in Jesus is sent to prison. They are deemed to be disloyal to the regime and to be a threat to the country. It is also because of their paranoia against Christianity. Perhaps like their neighbor in China, they view Christianity as a Western sort of religion. And because they feel threatened by the West, they are more inclined to single out Christians for persecution.
Given this harsh persecution, how easy is it for Christians to practice their faith inside North Korea?
I understand that they normally would meet in unpopulated areas to worship because of the pervasive surveillance that North Korean citizens are put under by the state, and also because of the widespread existence of informants in North Korean society. They would usually go to an isolated place to worship, but that the passing of the faith would be through the family to the family members, and then, of course, they would then pass it on to the next generation. Of course, we also need to take account of the fact that many of the Christians would probably also have fled the country shortly before or after the North Korean regime came to power. In fact, there are up to 300,000 refugees in China today from North Korea, a number of whom are Christians. And the Chinese government has a very strict policy of deporting those North Korean refugees whom they catch back to North Korea, where they face possible execution for having left the country in the first place.
Back home, the penalties for those North Korean Christians caught practicing their faith or trying to evangelize are equally severe. Thousands have been sent to labor camps, where they face hunger, torture, and even death, as Wong explains.
Well, for example, there was a lady who used to be in a labor camp, John Young Ok, who testified to the British All-Party Group on North Korea. And she said, and I quote, "I was put in a camp where I saw and experienced unimaginable things." And she added later, and I quote, "They tortured the Christians the most. They were denied food and sleep. They were forced to stick out their tongues, and iron was pushed into it." End of quote. So this is just one example given by people who fled to the West about their experiences in these camps. Soon Ok Lee wrote a book about it where she mentioned that she saw a group of Christians being killed in front of her by having liquid metal poured on them. She also commented encouragingly that she thought that the Christians were generally the most cheerful group of people in the labor camps, despite their being singled out for special persecution.
So, with thousands of Christians fleeing the country to escape this persecution, do we have any idea how many are currently left in North Korea? Wong says despite the widespread persecution, the Christian faith still manages to survive inside the communist state.
I think it's probably safe to say that there are thousands of Christians still in North Korea. The numbers who have been put in labor camps are probably at least thousands, if not tens of thousands. The nature of being a North Korean Christian makes it very hard to have accurate numbers because, as a matter of survival, North Korean Christians have to keep a very secret existence. But we do know that there were a lot of North Koreans converting to Christianity before this regime came to power. And so the faith was there in North Korea. It hasn't been extinguished. And despite all the regime's attacks and persecution, it is still not being extinguished. And I guess one can be encouraged by the fact that if the regime, what they claim is true, that army personnel are converting to Christianity, we can see that after decades of oppression, the church is still alive and well in North Korea, and the gospel is still spreading, but obviously under extremely difficult conditions, and so they really need our prayer and support.
Wilfred Wong is the Religious Affairs Advocacy Officer for Asia with the Christian human rights group, the Jubilee Campaign. He was speaking there with my colleague, Susie Hodges. And that concludes today's program. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.